Some time ago, I was approached by a number of students who asked me to give every week the Ashkofeshir. I said, I have no objection, I'll be glad to give Ashkofeshir every week if it will be sponsored by the administration. I don't want to give this year when it's not sponsored by the administration. But I don't want it to be referred to as Ashkofeshir, but rather as a Parashat HaShavuashir. So this is how it was designated. So on the announcement, Parashat HaShavuashir, every week on Wednesday at 9 p.m., except 2 weeks, next week and following week, it will be on Monday, 9 p.m. Now, I want to explain the reason as to why I emphasize and I insisted that it should be designated as a Parashat HaShavuashir, not a Hashkofeshir, not that I am prejudiced against the term Hashkofe, showing not prejudice, and I'm not petty and meticulous about the name. You could ask, what's in a name? Well, but here, the name, I think, is very important. Because in my opinion, the reason as to why there is a very set phenomenon taking place within the Orthodox folds, is taking place in Jewry in general, but in particular in the Orthodox folds, and in particular in the very Orthodox circles, in the yeshiva circles, there is a phenomenon of machlokes. In other words, of misnagdim, attacking Hasidim, not just misnagdim attacking Hasidim, but misnagdish leaders, Talmid Chachomim, and even Deilim B'Teiro, attack other Deilim B'Teiro, Hasidic Deilim B'Teiro, and misnagdish rabbonim, attacking other misnagdish rabbonim, and Hasidic rebbeim attacking other Hasidic rebbeim, something that has never existed in Jewish history, in the course of generations. It's true, there are isolated examples of a machlekes, like the machlekes that the Goyen conducted against the Hasidim, the machlekes between the Akatanin and the Nesneibeshit, and the machlekes against the Rambam. I don't want to discuss them, but there is nothing to do with this machlekes that goes on. The other machlekes was Lishim Shamayim. I'm not saying that this machlekes is not Lishim Shamayim, but there are two kinds of Lishim Shamayim. There is Lishim Shamayim that if it doesn't justify it, it's still considered as a mitigating circumstance. And that there is a Lishim Shamayim that is not even considered as a mitigating circumstance. For example, the Gemara in Bava Basra says, Sotnu Knino Lishim Shamayim Mishchavi, the Sotan who was Mikatrich against Yev. When the Rebbeinu Shem said that Yev was a righteous person, so he tried to minimize the righteousness of Yev. Because Yev is righteous, he's saintly, because he wasn't really tempted. But if he'll be tempted, he will not be righteous. Why did he do that a sudden? He all said Lishim Shamayim. The more it says Lishim Shamayim, it means Lishim Shamayim. It doesn't mean that the sudden acted like a hypocrite, has to show. Lishim Shamayim. What was it Lishim Shamayim? The sudden felt that it will be Gias HaKovet in Avraham Avinu if Yev is given credit for such righteousness. His cavone, Shavirish and Shemaim, I mean, he was defending the covenant of Avraham Avinu. Could you conceive the beer of God Lado to Avraham Avinu? He's our Abba Mini Goyim. So still, the Gemara does not consider it as even as a mitigating circumstance. So it should not be equated with the machlekes that existed 200 years ago when between Chassidim and Misnagdim. As a matter of fact, I mean the Talmud Mubak of the Goyim. Of the Goyim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, he was the one who lifted the ban against Chassidim. So how is the Shaykh to say reviving the machlekes of the Goyim? When Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the chief Misnagdim, he lifted the ban. Why did the Goyim come to the machlekes? I don't want to discuss it now. That requires the Yashkofish here by himself, that you see. You couldn't call it Ashavurashia. That you would have to call Yashkofish here. But that's not our concern now. But why is it so? I mean, that there is a phenomenon of Meshit Chachomim Ochei Avidah King Visokim. It is painful even to read the newspapers. Because of the Chil Hashem, when we see Gdelin B'Teiro attacking the other Gdelin B'Teiro. How is it? And they all mean Lishim Shamayim. So I think it all originates in a certain concept that Hashkofe has to be conceived in a different way than Shailas Nalok. What is the approach that has been adapted by all the Talmud Chachomim throughout the generation in Paskin and Yishayel in Allah? Let's think on what? Very simple, Shalom. So, you have to mention the Mokir. If somebody asks Yishayel, he forgot Talmud, so whether he has to dab over again or not over again, so he has to mention the Mokir. Mokir, Gimore, the same true Shulchan Aruch, and so on. When it's a question of Ashkofe, so of course they are Gdelin who follow the same approach. Let's say Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his Idris Moshe, sometimes he discusses Ashkofe questions, but the same approach. So he mentions the Moreh, the same Poske, the same way. But there are some Talmid Chachomim who pursue a different approach in Ashkofe, in policy. Let's say, in regard to Israel, what should be our attitude towards Israel? What should be our attitude towards the Western Bank? They don't mention Gemara, they don't mention Hashem, they don't mention Achenim, they just pass. How do they pass? Of course, they are motivated by Dafto, I mean Chas V'Sholem. What? It is based primarily on intuition. And that, some Orthodox Jews and even Orthodox leaders call Dasto. All right. Chassid Sholem are not opposed to Dasto. There is such a thing as Dasto. But I mentioned that in my speech in Israel during the summer, when I spoke at the conference that was sponsored by the Ministry of Religion. In connection with Bezalel, the Torah says, "Bamale yisei ruach elikim bechokhmo uvitvuno uvidas uvechol melach." So Rashi says, "Bechokhmo, ma she'odom shemei avorim ma'achirim v'lamad." So chokhmo is descriptive of knowledge that one learns from others. Uvitvuno, darbino, meivin dvorim elibe mirtich dvorim shalom. What we call deductive knowledge, deductive wisdom. Meivin dobo, miseo dobo. Mathematics is primarily a deductive science. That's tvuno. Uvidas, ruach hakedish. So the Malbim, in his Pirush and Mishrei, Perik Chodalet, Psukim Gimel and Dalet. So Shlomo HaMelech says in Pasuk Gimel, "Bichochmo yid nebayis, will be sooner escape. We talk more, I don't want to translate. We talk more, a person is able to build a house. And with Funo, with Bino, he is able to establish the house. Then Posidale. Uvi Das, Hadorin Yimliu, called Hein Yoko Binoi. And through that, the person is able to fill up the rooms with every precious and pleasant treasure. So, the Malbim says, Chochmo means the things that the person learns from his Rebbein, from his teacher. So that's true in Chochmo Sator, and it's true of architecture. Here, the Chochmo Yidne Bait. So this architecture. So the basic thing is, if one wants to be an architect, what does he have to do? Even if he has the greatest architectural talent, he has to go to a school of architecture. Somebody who has great architectural talent, if he doesn't go to a school of architecture, he wouldn't be able to build a house. He wouldn't be able to be a sakonet to live in that house if he builds such a house. So that's Chochmah. That is the Malbim says. That's Dvorim Shalemid Nachim, what he learns from his teacher. In school, Uvitvuno is made in Dobo Mitir Dobo. Not everything can run a student in architectural school learn in the architectural school. There are certain things that he has to deduce from other data. So that in order to establish a house, so he has to resort, he has to have recourse to Tvuno, to Bino, will be Das. So the Malbim says, Das is descriptive of intuitive wisdom. Something that you don't learn from others, something that you cannot deduce from something else, what is called in geometry the axiom, axiomatic, intuitive wisdom. So the Das Hadorin Yimliu Kolein Yokobino. In other words, if a person has special architectural talent, he has intuitive wisdom in the field of architecture, so that he can exploit that intuitive architectural wisdom after he accumulated the architectural chokhmah from others, and after he deduced the bino, the dobo mitir dobo. So the intuition has to be used after the chokhmah and after the bino. Now you know there is such a movement as Chabad. Who doesn't know Chabad? Chochmo Bino Das. It's called Chochmo Bino Das, not Badach. Not Dabach. Why is it called Chochmo Bino Das? Because the Chochmo comes first. The ideas of Torah, the basic premises of the Torah, the Mokia. And then comes the Bino. And then you can exploit the Das, into which is true, you have to use Das Ator. For the Das Ator, when you look through Rav Moshe Feinstein, each race you see that he follows that approach, whether it's a Shaila in Talmud Torah or a Shaila in regard to the Nes Yisrael. So you follow the same approach of Chochmah Bino Das. But how is it in the field of mathematics, geometry? So it's also, you also have the three pillars of mathematics. Chochmah Bino Das, but the order is not Chochmah Bino Das. The order is Das, Chochmah Bino. It's not Chabad, it's Dabachod, the Dachev, I don't know what I mean. So, maybe it's Dachet, not Dachet, but it's not Chabad. It's not Chabad. So first, in geometry, you have the axiom. That's the Das. Like, the whole is equal to the sum of its parts. Things equal to the same things, or to equal things, are equal to each other. That's axiomatic wisdom. It's not something that you can prove. It's not something that you can learn from others. It's true. I mean, any mathematics teacher will tell you that. But if you don't understand it intuitively yourself, he can explain to you 20 hours, and you still will not understand it. It is something you have to understand intuitively. So first thing are the axioms. Then come the propositions. Then come the propositions. All right, the proposition, you could conceive that, I mean, but it's one person, even the biggest genius, could not all by himself conceive all that. And then you have other examples, corollaries and other examples that are dover mitir dover, dover tiberatis. The first proposition, I still remember it when I studied it. Vertical angles are equal. So that's chokhmah. And then there are certain corollaries to the first proposition. So that's dino. But the das even comes first. How is it that in Yonei, in the building of a Mishkan, which is a divine edifice, not a mundane edifice. So the Chochmah comes first, then Bino, then Das. And in the building, in the construction of a mundane edifice, as the Pasuk Mishlech of Dalet, Sukim Gimel the Dalet, discusses, so Chochmah comes first, the Chochmah is Levi's, and in mathematics and in science, so the Chochmah comes first. In science, in biology, chemistry, physics, so of course that's inductive wisdom, inductive knowledge primarily. So there, so the Chochmah were the things that you accumulate from teachers or from empiricism is the same thing. So that comes first. And then you have the Dovo Mitir Dovo. And then you have the Dovo Mitir Dovo. And then you have all kinds of theories. I mean, that's intuition, intuitively. So some of the theories are baseless. But no scientist will develop a science on the basis of Dabra, on the basis of Dabra. So, but mathematics, so mathematics is conceived on the basis of Dabra, not on the basis of Chabad. Natural science, biology, chemistry, and even physics is developed on the basis of Chabad, Chochmah Bino Das, and mathematics is developed on the basis of Das being the first base. And the Maldon says that when Rashi, Rambam, then Maldon and Mishle says, when Rashi and Shmei says that the Das is Ruach HaKodesh, it doesn't mean the Das means only Ruach HaKodesh. In respect to Bezalel, his Das, his intuition was on such a high level that it was Ruach HaKodesh. But an ordinary person can also have intuitive wisdom, but it's not Ruach HaKodesh. But Das primarily, essentially, the Maldon says, means intuitive wisdom. So the problem that arises in the Torah circles today, which never has taken place, is because the Talmid Chachamim today, so they apply the same approach that is applied in mathematics. So it is applied properly. But in Hashkafas HaTorah, so it has to be Chochmah has to be the first, then Bino, then Das. But if the Das is the first base, the first pillar, so then unfortunately we are overtaken by a phenomenon of Meshit Chachamim Ochreya to Das Kimi Yisaket. Oh, there is the Chizomim, there is Machlechis, there is the Zontom, the Chachomim, there is the Chil Hashem. And who? Who is being promoted to all that? You know who? Conservative and Reform Judaism. They are the only winners. And the rest are losers. It's not even the Hasidim. The Yeshiva people, the Hasidic people, Satna, Babi, Gea, everybody loses. And who gains? Reform rabbis and conservative rabbis. Dr. Schindler is rejoicing over it. He should rejoice. Why shouldn't he rejoice? If Talmid Chachamim attack each other and call each other names. So the reason as to why I was mocked, I was insisted that it shouldn't be designated Hashkof Shia, because if it's designated Hashkof Shia, someone might get the impression, oh, Hashkof Shia, well, that is grounded in a different approach altogether than regular Shia. No. If it's grounded in a different approach, then it's no good. It should not be delivered. Then it's a mirch. It has to be developed and conceived in the same manner as Aloch Hashir. Now, Aloch Hashir, so first comes the Chochmah, you have to analyze the text of the Gemara, the text of Rashi, the text of Tehillim, text of the Rambam, text of the Rosh, the Tur, of the Rashbo, the Ramban, the Ritvo, the Ram, I mean, the Machaber, the Ramo, the Tal, the Shal, the Sma. That's the way it has to be conceived. So then there wouldn't be any machlokes, but unfortunately, we are being overtaken by a phenomenon of meishiv chachamim ocher v'das kinim misokhi. But it will not be like the regular Shia. The regular Shia, so, you know, and that there is also a variance between the approach of the Lithuanian Rosh Yeshivas and the Hungarian Rosh Yeshivas. In Hungary, prior to the Second World War, so the approach in the Hungarian Yeshivas was to learn sugyas. And in Hungarian Yeshivas, they used to finish all of Yevames in one's month. How? Not this day. That they were supermen, I mean, they were able to cover every shura of Gemara and Yevames in half a year, but they just discussed sugyas from Yevames. So the first thing that they discussed was Esedich Elisus and then other sugyas, and then they skipped. In Lithuania, especially in Balozhin, and no Yeshivas, especially in Balozhin, they were makpid not to skip one line. And even some shuras in Gemara, especially in the Agadah of Gemara, so you can't understand it. But they never skipped. I remember my father, the Henry Brochet, he gave a shiur in Gittin, so he gave a shiur in Gittin several years. And then, when he approached the Agadah in Misha Orvei, so he spent weeks on the shiur. And the Agadah of Hashmedah in Shlomo HaMelech, he gave many shiurim about the Hamidrash and so on. So that was the Lithuanian approach. The Hungarian approach was to discuss certain subjects, isolated subjects. Now this Parsha Hashavuah here will not follow the approach of the Lithuanian Yeshiva. I'm not going to analyze every line. You know that in the Misech there, I don't skip from it, because that's a Masheya from the Sabo. But here, you can't expect me to analyze every passage in the Parshas HaShavuah. Imagine Sab. So I have to cover Sab in one Shia. But the Mitziv used to give the Parshas HaShavuah Shia in Balozhin. And that the Pir Shamidova was based upon Yishurim. So every day, after the Minyan, I don't know when the Yalim there, but he gave the Shia for an hour, after the Minyan, before the Talmidim went to meet Pashachis, so he gave the Shia for an hour. So in the Gemara, he gave three shurim, a week, and Rapani gave three shurim. As a matter of fact, some of the shurim that Rapani gave were attended, not every year, by the Nesiv himself. So only three, but the Tasha said this last year, only the Nesiv gave, and every day he gave a shear of an hour. So he, such a giant, had to give every day, and now the Tasha says, last year, how can you expect me in finishing at 10 o'clock to discuss the whole set of Tzav plus the Parsha for Adam? It's really impossible. So I'm going to follow up the Hungarian Derech. Sugyas. Okay. So I won't discuss the center of Tzav altogether, but the Parsha Spor I'll discuss. And only briefly. For now, I couldn't do it. I want to behave, I don't want to trespass on the four dimensions, so I'll have to discuss everything briefly. Now, the Chachomim were Misakein. The Chachomim were Misakein. That on four Shabbosim, before Pesach, so certain parashas in the Torah should be read. Special Shabbos. What are the names of the four special Shabbos? Shabbos Shkolim is the first one, then Shabbos Zochir, and then Parshas Poro, and then Parshas Achitz. All right, Parshas Hagodol also has a name, but it's nothing special on Parshas Shabbos Hagodol. It's only has a name, especially it has a name. So the question is, why does it have a special name? All right. But nothing special on Shabbos Shkolim. Just the Shabbos before Pesach. But Shabbos Shkolim, Shabbos Zocher, Shabbos Poro, Shabbos Achidus, are special Shabbos. What way are they special? That the over and above the regular Sedre that is read every Shabbos, so we read a certain parsh. Why? So the Gemara Megillah explains. The reason as to why the Shabbos Rishchidish Oder, or the Shabbos before Rishchidish Oder, we have to read Parshas Shkolim, because there is a halacha that starting with Nissan, so all the kibbonis have to be brought from the Truma Hadosh, not of the old Truma. So, in other words, all the Jews have to give their Machtes HaShekel before the Shechis. So in order to inform all the Jews that they have to bring their Machtes HaShekel to the Bishamidosh, so we had to be Machtes by reading on Shabbos Rishchidish Oder, or the Shabbos before Rishchidish Oder, Parshas Shkolim, in order to inform Jewry that they have to bring the Truma Hadash, the Machtes HaShekel. And then, Shabbos before Purim, we have to read Zochir before Purim. For the mitzvah of Zochir, is Asher Osel Hamor. And then, the Shabbos after that, the Shabbos after that, so we have to read Parshas Poro also because of Pesach. Because on Pesach, every Jew has to bring the Korban Pesach. And many Jews are tummy, so they have to prepare themselves, as it would, for Hazoyas, Gimel Zion. So mainly we have to read Parshas Poro in order to inform all of Jews of the burden that is incumbent upon them, namely to purify themselves and to cleanse themselves of any tumah, otherwise they will not be able to celebrate Pesach properly, they will not be able to match the Korban Pesach. And Parshas Achidesh that is read either on Shabbos Shemesh Nissen of Shabbos before Nisan, so it's also to inform the approach of Pinchas. So that was the reason. But now the Gemara says, so except for Parshas Zohar, there is really no reason as to why we should read in Parshas Shkolim and Shabbos Shkolim. And why should we read Parshas Paul? We are all clear meeting, but there is nothing that we can do about it. We have no Ifaporing, we have no possibility of being naturally called anyway. So why should we read Parshas Paul? And why should we read Parshas Achidesh? Parshas Achidesh discusses the Yom of Korban Pesach. But there is no Korban Pesach, unfortunately, now, until the Misha Mashiach. So some say that the reason is why the Chachamim are mechayev to read these four parshas even b'zman hazeh, when there is no practical reason, is because of Meir Yibon b'Samigdosh, and because of the passage in Yom Yoh, Hatzidi Loch Tziyun. So the same way as we are mechuyev to be mafresh chalek b'zman hazeh, even in Chutzlach, and b'zman hazeh even our Yisroel is not chayim in the Rambam. But we are mechuyev mi Rabbanan to be mafresh chalek, even in Chutzlach, even though the chalek is chalek meyo, and it is burned, but still, we are mechuyev because of Hatzidi Loch Tziyun. So here too, because of Meir Yibon b'Samigdosh, and because of Hatzidi Loch Tziyun. But I think that in addition to the term of Meir Yibon b'Samigdosh and Hatzidi Loch Tziyun, so the four special Shabbosim have a very relevant reason as to why they should be celebrated as special Shabbosim, not only is there a very relevant reason as to why each special Shabbos, Shkolim, Zohar, Torah, Chedesh, is to be celebrated individually, but there is a combined reason as to why all the four Shabbos and all the four Kriyas should be read together, namely, to prepare every Jew and every Jewess mentally for the celebration of the Chag HaChilos. Now, Pesach is the Chag HaChilos, but Chilos, when one talks about Chilos, especially today, more than any other time, so he's standing on a slippery slope. It's not easy to stand on a slippery slope, because then you are exposed to the possibility of falling down if you stand on a slippery slope. And today, when freedom is the most popular watchword in all societies, right-wing society, left-wing, communistic, fascist, democratic, freedom is the most popular watchword. Who doesn't talk about freedom? And Arafat, the arch murderer of the Jews, he talks about freedom more than anybody else. More than anybody else. And certain so-called Jewish leaders proclaim him as a moderate, but as a Baal Tshuva, I mean, who is conciliatory towards Israel. But Shamir, he's a terrorist, and he's not conciliatory. He doesn't want to budge. He's intransigent, he's rebellious, he's inflexible. You're laughing at me, is the truth? Don't you see the ads, the full page ads in the New York Times? In every newspaper? The Chicago Tribune, in every newspaper? A full-page ad by the president of the Labor Zionists attacking Shamir that he's a terrorist, and that Arafat is pursuing peace. But Shamir, to his inflexibility, he doesn't allow peace to be established. Why? Because everybody talks in the name of freedom. satisfaction in your freedom. So, to talk about freedom, you are standing on a slippery slope. You can have the choice. Sink in the depths of the malady. We also talk about freedom. Hills, most important thing. So Jews have to be prepared mentally, spiritually, morally prepared to celebrate the festival of freedom, the Chag Hill. So that's why Chachamim or Misaki, of course, and Chas V'Sholem not refusing the main term, in order that main term was Bizman HaBayis, to enable Jewry, you know, to fulfill the chibes that were incumbent upon them, namely to be Machzor HaShekel and to cleanse themselves and to purify themselves of the mess and so on. But over and above these reasons, there is one combined reason for celebrating all the four special Shabbos, namely to prepare them mentally for the Chag HaHil. So I think that the four special Shabbos are based upon the Pasuk Yom Yom, that it's in Perek Tesef Yom Yom, it's in the Torah of Tisha B'Av. Toyom Abishem Svokit, Al Yisaleu Chochom Bichochmosoi, Val Yisaleu Gidea Bigluosoi, Val Yisaleu Loshia Biosoi, Kim Buzois Yisaleu Ham Yisaleu, Haskil Biodea Yisim Abishem, Kam Yadishem Wisset Doko, Mishpot Varet, Kibreil Chofastin Yom Abishem. Let not pride, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, and let not the rich man glory in his riches, and let not the mighty man glory in and pride himself in his might. But if one wants to glory in his pride himself, let him glory in this, that I, God, is the God of righteousness and justice and generosity, for it is in these things, it is these things that I want, that I desire. I think Parshish Kohen is based upon the passage of Al Yisalei Loshir Belshrei. Here the Novi Yom Yom mentions the three important dimensions in human society. What are they? Chochom, wisdom, and Oshir, wealth, material wealth, and Dibeir, might, power. These are the three basic dimensions in human society. And you cannot do without these dimensions. These dimensions can be a source of blessing, and society could not be blessed without a modicum of wisdom, without a modicum of wealth, without a modicum of power and might. But it's a sadas tevero, and certainly ashiras and boys tevero. It can be used and it can be abused. So, the parsha of Machzis HaShekel teaches us that riches is something that is very important. The Novi doesn't say Al Yisaleil that a person could not pride himself Sandwiches. And nobody doesn't say, nobody says, Timbazesi Salelan Salel. But in this, can the one who glories himself, who prides himself, find pride if he's cognizant of the basic fact that the Rabbeinu Shalom expects righteousness and justice and chesed from people. So, in other words, Nobi doesn't say, Chiin be stoko umishpot ve chesed yisale. No, kim bezeis yisale misale. The one who is misale biyoshre, he can be misale biyoshre. If the wealth goes hand in hand with Kaliyah Dishem, which is Doko Mishpot or Chesed, Kibayele Hafatim of Hashem, then it can be Misale. The one who wants to pride himself in wisdom, in science, in art, he can be Misale himself. It is something to be proud of, provided that science and arts go hand in hand with Doko Mishpot or Chesed. And if one wants to be proud of his power, of course he isn't proud of his power. If he uses the power in order to subdue riches, of course he can be proud of it. So we have to read the Parsha of Shkolim, because the Parsha of Shkolim teaches us that Ashiras is important, the dimension of wealth is very important. We couldn't have any progress without wealth, without material wealth, but it has to go hand in hand with Stockholm, Mishpat, and Chesed. So if Jews want to be spared, Chas v'Sholem, the possibility of a catastrophe overtaking the Jewish people, and not to spare a Negev, Chas v'Sholem, so the concept of wealth has to revolve itself around the mission, around the concept of Tamiya Vishem, which is Yokov, the Mishpot, the Chesed Bar, Jibreel Hopatim Umar Vishem. If one wants to be proud of might, so he has to dedicate the might to the goal of Muhammad Vishem Bar Molit in Deodea. Then he can be proud even of Zvura. If one wants to be proud of Chokhmah, of course, he can be proud of Chokhmah. But it has to go hand in hand with Stoko Chesed and Mishpat, Jibreela Chapatzi Yomalishem. So there is a combined purpose. Even today, that there is no Bishamidash in reading the four parshas. So, the parshas calling is based upon the passage of Al Yisalei Roshir Roshrei. The parshas Zohar is based upon the passage of Al Yisalei Gibeir Bikvorosei. And the parshas Poro is based upon the passage of Al Yisrael Chochom v'Chochmas. That's Parshas Bor. So what's the purpose of Parshas Bor today? We don't have a Bor anyway. We can't prepare ourselves for the Kol Pesach until Moshiach comes. But the purpose is to know that Al Yisrael Chochom v'Chochmas by itself only when it goes hand in hand, only when it goes hand in hand with Ki'ami Adishem, with Hustoko Mushpat, the Chesed Bar. Now, the partial part of himself, there's very little time left to discuss. That was until now, just happened. So, very little time is left for me. Give the Parshas Hashavua Shir, or even Hashavua Shir, and Parshas Bor. I'll try my best. I'll who can watch them from the left. So, the Parshas Bo deals with the law which our sages characterize as an inexplicable law. The law for Adumim, which is baffling prescriptions, its contradictory qualities, rendering the heretofore unclean men clean, and the heretofore clean men unclean, is always mentioned as an example of a hukkah, a statute, a divine injunction, the reason of which transcends our understanding, but is nevertheless obligatory because it was enjoined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The law for Adume, or the concept underlying the law for Adume, is symbolic of the Torah . In other words, the concept underlying the law of Paradume is that in spite of the fact that intelligence, reason, understanding is the most noble gift that with which Almighty God endowed man, and we say it every time we davish Minesre, so Atochin Elohim Das, that's the first prayer of all the Bakoshis Sof, because there are 13 Bakoshis of Bakoshis in the Shemesh, we call it Shemesh, because that was before the Birkas Hamunim was enacted. So there were only 18 Bakoshis, now there are 19. So three are the Bakoshis of Shemesh of Shvach, three are the Bakoshis of Shemesh of Yidoye, but there are 13 Bakoshis. So the first one, the first prayer of Bakoshe is the Bakoshe for wisdom, for understanding, for intelligence. That means that in our Weltanschauung, reason, intelligence, understanding, rationality is the most important gift that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gave to man. And unfortunately, modern people labor under the erroneous notion that Yadus is opposed to progress. Nothing could be more a falsification of the point of view of Yadus than this. Yadus, on the contrary, advocates the exploitation of reason and empiricism in order to further progress. The Yadus advocates the exploitation of reason and empiricism in order to further progress can be deduced from the rabbinical exegetical interpretation of mitzvah tzitzis, which is reflective of the whole Torah, and which combines two aspects, lovon and chelos. And the Gemara Menachah says, lomo nishtanet chelos mikol tivunim shebeteiro, why does the Torah require to dye a chut of the tzitzis with chelos, with the blood of the chelosim, it's blue. Die, because Tchiles Deimel Erot, the Yam Deimel Rokia, Rokia Deimel Kiseakot. Years ago, I heard from my brother, Kishibea, that the two aspects in cities, Slovan and Chiles, are symbolic of the two approaches in life. Slovan is symbolic of that which is obvious, reasonable, and rational, and intelligent. White is not a complicated color, but Chiles is symbolic of that which is unintelligible. That, it is symbolic of that which is mysterious and transcendental. And the Torah, by combining every jewel to fuse in its baguette the white with the blue, in fact, symbolizes the concept of integrating the rational and the intelligible approach in life with the mysterious and transcendental approach in life. On one hand, the Torah advocates exploitation of reason, intelligence, and empiricism. You might hear some rabbonim, and perhaps some Rosh Hashivas today, who say that studying science and arts, not for the purpose of panos, involves an aveir. But it's completely erroneous. If you take notice of the Shitas Hagenim and Hashemim, starting from Asad Yegoyen until the Goyen of Vilna, so you'll see that all of them, without any exception, had a very positive approach towards science and art, starting with Asad Yegoyen and ending with the Goyen of Vilna, and not just for the purpose of promise. Rav Dovid Anogi means modern people, they mention Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch says that when the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says Yopetam Teiro in Da Acharetz, so the Acharetz is not limited to a profession, but the Acharetz covers every endeavor that is conducive to Yeshiva Elam, to the upbuilding of the world. Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch wrote that but he was in the Chabish. Rav Dovid Anogi, the grandson of the Rambam, and the Peyosh, and Pirkei Avos, he says the same thing, and even more elaborately than Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. I don't know if Rav Shimshon, it probably was not published yet in the day of Rav Shimshon Nomesh. And Rav Dovid Anogi says that when the Mishnah in Ovis says Yopetam Tor in the Acharetz, or when the Gemara in Brocha says that on Bob, I think, on the day of Bob, for Safto di Konecho, Hamig ben Minag the Acharetz, she Odom Chirish Bishor Shabni Odom Chirish, the Zerea Bishor Shabni Odom Zeri, they it's not limited just to a profession. And the Chassam Sifa says the same thing, the Chassam Sifa says the same thing. So, but it refers to every endeavor that is conducive to the upbuilding of the world. And the Rambam, in Pirkei Milchas Ritziach Shmiras Nefesh, in connection with Goles, Yotzah Ava Makez Ne'ar, Ava Gedis Talmidei, so the Rambam says that it's a mitzvah incumbent upon his father not only to teach the child Torah, but to teach him Umes, the profession, and Chochmah, and worldly wisdom. Where is the mitzvah? Hanik ben Minag Da'acharet. So, it's not such an isolated chite what Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch said. It is mentioned by all the Shemim, and even by Achenim, even by the Chassam Sefer. He mentions it in the Tshuva. So it goes without saying that the Torah has a very positive attitude towards the rational and intelligible approach in life, which is symbolized, as my brother says, by the Lovan, by the chutalot. But that there is another, and there is the chutat chiles. The chutat chiles is symbolic of the mysterious and transcendental approach. The approach that is not grounded in rational, but in transcendentalism. And the concept that there are certain things that are beyond the inquisitive grasp of the limited human mind, that is symbolized by the aspect of Tcheles in the mitzvahs, and that is also the underlying concept of the law of Parabun. Chuka shechokakti lachem, ein luchol shus lahave. But this mysterious and transcendental approach manifests itself in three realms. In the realm of nature, and on the scientific level, because it is through science that we can explore the laws of nature. In the realm of the spirit, of the moral and the spiritual law, and on the Torah level, because the spiritual and moral law is exclusively controlled by Allah. There is no other agency that could control and mold the spiritual and moral law that governs not just the human society but the universe. Because Chazal says, it means that just as there are laws of nature, there are laws of the spirit. And the laws of the Torah, they are expressive of the laws of the spirit that governs the universe, not just human society. And in the realm of the spiritual and moral law, so it is to be conceived on the Torah level. And then the third realm is in the realm of the administration of the world by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and on the historical level. I think this is the meaning of this apparently mysterious exegetical maimah. Lomo nishtano tchiles mikol tzidini shebetiro mikneshe tchiles dimil yam yam dimil rokia. The question arises, why does the Chazal mention Deime, three times Deime? After all, the most important thing is that it's Deime Likisi HaKovit. That's the most important thing. Deime Liyam is not such a great significance. So what? It's similar to the Mara of the Yam. So what's the big thing about it? So why do Chazal have to mention it? It is Chil Dimel Yam, Yam Dimel Rokia, Rokia Dimel Kisakol. But the answer is, the Yam is symbolic of waves, of the realm of nature. And nature is based upon the principle of causation. All of science, of natural science, is predicated upon the principle of causation, of cause and effect. That's Yam, that's waves. Everything is explained on the basis of waves. All of physics is based upon the concept of waves, of Yam. That's the Chilas Dimel Yam has reference to the mysterious aspect that is in the realm of nature. Scientists know They know. What do they know? The more they find out, the more they don't know. The ignorance is directly proportional to the knowledge. Again, Yam Dino Chia. This is reference to the mysterious aspect in the realm of the spirit. And on a Torah, it is true that the Torah consists of two types of laws, Mishpatim and Chukim. Chukim and Mishpatim. Mishpatim, as the Gemara in Yume explains it, are mitzvahs that the sechel is mechayev, like love, like din, like loisirtzah. We some is Adam Rahal, we ask the Rahal of Mecho. It's mitzvahs that she mole le nemro ruino leyame. Even if the Torah
what?
Had not mentioned
right
it, it would be obligatory.
Okay.
In other words, it's called malum per se, something that are dead in themselves. It's here. She, the Torah is a heavy being, a lisir Torah. So the tzichah would be a nice thing. It's a mishpat. Vorim shi yimola li nemo, o ruim heim li omeh. But then the achut. Like koradum, like ishisach. Ishisach is a chok. All right. If somebody dies without children, if he dies with children, then it's a dilabera. It's an elbow. And if he died without children, it's a mitzvah. It's not malum per se, it's not bad in itself. It is bad because the Torah forbade it. That's a hate. So, the Mishpatim, one could say, are expressive of the rational aspect in Yavis. Only the Chukim are expressive of the mysterious and transcendental approach. But it's not so. We see the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that the Gemara, prior to Matan Torah in Sinai, so the Jews were commanded on Dinim, Kibudav, and Poravim. Now, Dinim means civil justice. Civil justice. And the Ramban says in Chumash that the Dinim that the Jewish Israelites who are commended in Moral are not the same as the Dinim, the Mishpatim, that the Jews were Mistave the Sinai. So the Sinai then Mistave and the Dini Ator, so there is a loche, let's say, Shetam goes. Let's say Shetam goes, so then the owner is mechuyev to pay half damages. If Sharamuet goes, so he's mechuyev to pay whole damages. If it's a damage done by the Karen, so then even the Shusarabim is chayev. If it's damage done by Shem Regel, so the Shusarabim is poter, Shusarabim is chayev. But the dinim moro is do not represent the Dini Ator, the Mishpatim. But the Israelites in Moro were starting in a general way to comply with the system of justice that is conceived according to one's own innate intelligence. As a matter of fact, all the positive, I'm sure, Reb Chaim Bar Amor says it's in Tolu Machlekes Amoroyim, it's in Sanhedrin, but the other Poskim in the show and the Chronologen her, I mean, and all the Poskim say that according to all the Amroim, the Dinim of Mineach do not coincide with the Dinim Omnes of Israel. The Dinim of Mineach means that every society, every human society of non-Jews is obligated to which are expressive of Mishpatim, and of Pora Aduma, which is a classic example of Chukim. Why? What's the purpose? And then, between the Tzivu in Moro and the Tzivu in Sinai, so, it's a short time, Imam. I think that the Tzivu in Moro took place, I think that the Chassam Sefer mentions that as one of the reasons for the uniqueness of Lag BaOmer. I mean, no one knows why Lag BaOmer is such an important day. But Lag BaOmer, I mean, all right, so there was a plague that overtook the Talmidim of Rav Akiva there. So then they shot such a test of date, so Chassam Sefer says that and Lag BaOmer, or Korav Lag BaOmer, were the days when the man started to drop, and also in the Tzivuyim Moro took place. So, between Lag BaOmer and Shavuot, how many weeks are there? Such a short time. So what was the purpose of the dealing to them the Tzivuyim of Dinim, Kibud Av, and Poradom? All right. You can understand Din, Judah, they have to be mentally and spiritually. to meet Bishop Nuru Haveri exclusively from the point of view of the innate kindness, then he rationalizes. You see, I mean, Chaim time had to write the whole sefer and shmurfer. And Chaim writes in that domain, if somebody talks Russian horror, he says, I don't remember. And it's 1991. I don't remember. Can anyone remind me? How many? Terrible on earth. It's too many. All right, anyway. The number of love, 19 maybe. And Ephesus. And still, so many Orthodox Jews are without the Russian order. And even the Orthodox Jews who publish form, who publish form of Nurma Haveri, they are still also without. They find the tale, they rationalize. Why do they rationalize? They don't rationalize in regard to the Israel giving the Bailey. No one rationalizes that. No one will rationalize in regard to the Israel giving the latest life, or even in regard, let's say, to the Minhagim of Sphere. Somebody in Syria, so there'll be many Orthodox Jews who are ready to talk against him and to bevase him and to malign. Why is that so? They have no Yerushalayim, of course they have Yerushalayim. But they approached Hukim from the point of view of Kabbalah to Yerushalayim. But no more have they reached love, all the guests, all these are mitzvahs that. So in Mele, then suppose the Torah would not have commanded, we still would be obligated. But if the Torah didn't command them, then they'll find nature, you know. I mean, a person can rationalize, you know. You see, I mean, how modern people. So in the media, Solution Hore and with Shemra, that is the basic tool. And that is the criterion whereby we measure and determine the success of a media person, whether he's a successful media person or not, if he's able to talk maximum of Russian horror and Shemba, then he's a very prominent correspondent. But you see, he doesn't talk Russian horror so freely, but then he's a mediocre media person. He has to be able to find out all the films about that and this one and that one, I mean, about Grail, then he's a big man. So, because the person, and they don't believe in human dignity. Every modern person believes in human dignity. Everybody knows what the Declaration of Independence says. Man was endowed by his creator with certain inalienable rights, and among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So how is it that they malign a person and they explore all the secrets about his private life? And by whom is it done? By people who always speak of freedom. Freedom! What's the answer? Because they approach it only from the point of view of the rational and the intelligent. So then you rationalize. You know, human ingenuity is so shallow and so sophisticated that you can retire as a sheriff a billion times, not a billion times, but 1,000 times. So, even Orthodox Jews, the trouble is, why do they talk Russian horror? Why does a Mishnagi talk against the Hasid? Why? Doesn't he know that some in the Rabbim would he dare eat one piece of Nevele? He wouldn't rationalize in the dark Nevele. Because that's Hukim, so he knows that Hukim has landed in the mysterious transcendental approach. In the Holy Shoes, but that's Mishpatim, so why can't they rationalize and be retired as a sheret the Kufnun time? So that's why the Israelites were commanded in more to prepare them for Matan Torah. On one hand, they were commanded the mitzvahs of Dinim and Kibud Av, which are examples of obligations that are grounded in the concept of human dignity and ingratitude. And on the other, they were commending Paradum something that is so mysterious that he defies all logic, he defies all understanding, to advise us, to impress us with the basic concept that even in the realm of Mishpati, we have to approach it not only from the point of view of the rational and intelligible, but also, and perhaps primarily, from the approach of the mysterious and the transcendental. Then we will not rationalize, then we will not be able to manipulate and to be entire as Asheret, and to be entire as Asheret because we need time. So that is Chilas Deim Yam Deim Rokia. And then the Rokia Deim Rokia Yakovi. Kisei HaKodesh, I think, is symbolic of the throne of glory, of God's administration in the world. God's administration in the world. That is Moshe Rabbeinu, that's Kisei HaKodesh, the way God, the Gemara of Ben Shalom, administers the world. The unfolding of the historical event in the course of the millennia is the Kisei HaKodesh, is the Kisei HaKodesh. And as the Kisei HaKodesh marches through the sand of time, so there are certain events. So here we have to approach it primarily from the point of view of the mysterious, of Tchilas, of the mysterious and the transcendental. When Moshe Rabbeinu said HaKadosh Baruch Hu Harinu Noes Kodecho, so the Morim Brocha says that Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzimah Tzadik V'Ralei Tzadik V'Teblei Rosh V'Ralei Rosh V'Teblei. He couldn't understand the history, the meaning, the purpose of the historical events. We find the Rishonim who prosper and Tzadikim who suffer. Why is it so? So the Rishonim responded, the Satuli Ratzu, the Avers Kredi, the Oisa Sachira Yufon Aliro. He told Moshe, the Rishonim told Moshe to stand in the cleft of the rock. And then as the Kaviyohu passes by, so Moshe will be able to see, so to speak, the Achille of the Shekhinah, but not the pony of the Shekhinah. What does it mean? English Musagum, what does it mean? So the Yalkuchimayim, and I think that the Pshat in English, the Achirai represents the historical events when the person views them retrospective, after the Kavayohu has marched through the sands of time, and then you examine the footsteps of the Kavayohu, then you can understand the purpose of all these events. That's a hill. Ponai represents the observance of the historical events as the Shekhinah, Kaviyoh, passes through the sense of time. It's impossible to understand the purpose of all the tragedies that took place in the course of millennia. It's impossible to understand. distinguish between the piece of art and the bad piece of art. But I know, I don't think it is a sentiment. He was no more of a dilettante in art than I, but he had in his living room, he had paintings. He told me that the paintings costed him more than a quarter of $1 million. So then he showed me those paintings. So he took me to the living room. First I was sitting in the dining room. He was serving me tea. So he took me to the living room and he said to me, "This painting, you have to stand 6 feet away in order to finish it." So I stood 6 feet away, but what did I know? I'm 6 feet away, 1 foot. I didn't, no difference to me. No difference to me. But I know one thing, that he knew and I knew, that in order to appreciate a human painting, you have to stand at a distance. That I know. A human painting, you have to stand at a distance in order to appreciate it. Then the nation of China, in order to appreciate the cosmic painting by the teacher, how can people today, and I don't care who they are, even if they are Nobel Prize winners, how can they arrogate to themselves the role of disgusted ours? Why? Because they think that everything can be understood. That's the biggest blunder that is committed by people who are fond of science and art. As a matter of fact, if I had been invited to give the third lecture in Toronto, I would say that. So I might as well mention it now. But I'm not trying to smuggle in some like a book. There was a Pussic in Michelin, and Meila Chochma Achesia. Tell wisdom, tell science, tell art, you are my sister. Tell Chochma, tell wisdom, tell science, thou art. Everybody knows that a brother, unless he has a fight with his sister, if he didn't have any fight with his sister, professes great love to his sister. There couldn't be more devotion than the devotion of a brother towards a sister, especially younger sister. But with all the love, and the devotion, the attachment that the brother might profess to his sister, he cannot marry his sister. There cannot be any real identification. Love, yes, attachment, devotion, but merging with the sister, if the brother tries to merge with the sister, to become identified completely with the sister, to be married to a sister, then the marriage is incestuous. And the offspring will know. The offspring of the being is illegitimate. The mom doesn't know. The offspring of such a marriage. And the Allah Chokhma Achesia. Tell science, wisdom, intelligence, the exploitation of reason, empiricism, cultivation of art. Achesia. He has a very positive attitude towards science and art. But only a sister, you can't say, you are my wife. There cannot be full identification. The trouble and the tragedy that overtakes modern society consists in the fact that they don't say to science and art, Achesiat. They say, Ishtiat. Some may raise an incestuous marriage. And the fruits of that marriage are illegitimate. That's why it's a new problem. Because we say Ishtia, not Achesia. Only we can get married to Torah, we can get married. Toyo Tiboronu Moshe, Milrosho Kilas Yaakov. So the Gemara says, Otikon Rosho Elam Milrosha to Torah, we can become married. Science? Yes, we have to love science. We have to pursue the cultivation of the arts and the exploration of nature. But we have to know we cannot identify ourselves. As Mara Hagia says, Kishalna Liyonim Rasheni, Miriyim Ashabor, Alekimus Hordom, Mixi Oret, Vatsi Oret, Mixi Oret, Vatsi Oret, the Gemara in Chagiga says, that you say that in the Zalet, Atosheel Bideireish, the Atosheel Bideireish, Malutonim Malumailo Malumato Malutonim Malrochea. There is a rational, there is the right aspect of Tzitzis, the Chutalovon, there is a rational and intelligible approach. We have to pursue the exploration of nature and to find out as much as we can the laws of nature in order to further progress, in order to counteract the destructive forces, the destructive and chaotic forces that rage within nature. I mentioned many times Ashabor, which is Lassi, Sidi Benezre, and the Chizkuni say that when the Benishlon created the world and created man, he created the world and man in his very imperfect form. Everybody knows it. There are so many handicaps in the human organism, shortcomings, in the surah of the world at large. There are earthquakes and there are floods and all kinds of disasters. Why? The Benishlon could have created the world so that there wouldn't be earthquakes, there wouldn't be any floods, that there wouldn't be any heart failures, there wouldn't be any strokes, there wouldn't be any cancer, there wouldn't be Tay-Sachs disease and all kinds of numerous and multifarious sicknesses and diseases. Why did the Benishlon create the world and the human organism in such a way that there are so many shortcomings in the world, so many shortcomings in the human organism? Because Ashabor Kinra says that the Benishon didn't want to create man as a spiritual robot who can do everything as a superman. No, because then there would be nothing left for men to do. And the Benishon wanted men to become a shooter for the Kabayoho, improving upon the world and upon men on a physical level, but primarily on a spiritual and moral level. So that's the pshat in Ashabor Kimbati. So we have to fuse the white strand with the blue strand, but we have to know that everything that's in nature, so there is a limitation. Mixi Oret, Vatsi Oret, Atosheel Bideirish, Vi Atosheel Bideirish, Malamailo, Malamato, Malifoni, Malocher. We can understand everything. There's a limit. And in the area of Torah, we have to know that there are certain things that will never be comprehended. Then, especially, in the realm of God's administration of the world, we have to know the resource achirat from our hero. And just one thing that I want to mention, that I said that the Hesper of Yerushalayim, the desire of my grandson, is resource achirat. And that will be my concluding in March. At the end of the Nial, so the Malach said, to the Nir, the Ato layer the Nir, Chichsumim, Chistumim Uchsumimei, Ad Isaket. Now the Nir goes, march. You have to be a hero in your house. Don't become prosperous. Don't become despondent. But you have to be in the house. Layer the Nir. And Chi. You have many difficulties, there are many things you can't understand in God's administration of the world. Can we understand the Holocaust? So if one tries to explain the Holocaust, he stands on such a slippery slope. That's one of two alternatives. Either killed the Nirshel in blasphemy, or if he is prone, so you'll not be Nirshel in blasphemy, but you'll be Nirshel in stupidity. You're stupid. So the only thing left is not to discuss it and not to be thinking about it. Because what's the use of thinking about it? Soon have a second. So the Malach said to the leader, Stum the Chasum. There's a difference between Stum and Chasum. Sosum means we have the Parsha Stumo and we have the Parsha Tzuch. According to the Rambam, we pass from the Rambam, not on the Rosh. So being Parsha Tzuch and Stumo has the same type of blank space. But Parsha Psukha, if the blank space is at the beginning of the line of the Shura, the society will be jungle if there is no judicial code. So Dinim, even of more, the Ramban says. So it's a raya from the Ramban that the Ramban also agrees with it. Because if the Dinim of the Neach coincides with the Dinim of Israel, in Mishpotim, Al-Haskamu, the Hamor, that the Dinim of Moro should coincide with the Mishpotim, with the Dinim of Mishpotim. So it is obvious that the beginning of Moro represents innate justice. Justice that is dictated by human reason, by common sense. And Tudav, of course, Tudav is always mentioned as a classic example of Mishpati, of something that is dictated by human conscience and by common sense. Yerushalmi in Peyek calls it Kriyas Chayim. Shlishi Shutkin Biot, as in your English also. And Torah Dumeh is the best example of a chukah, something that transcends reason, that defies reason, that defies rationality. So how come that in Moro the Israelites were commanded on one hand the mitzvah, the obligation of dinim and tzvudah, which are expressive of mishpatim, and of Torah Adumah, which is a classic example of false counselors. Everybody will be able to understand it, be very simple. But right now we don't have the source of revelation to tell. But the thing is capable of being understood. Chosu means seal. That we can't, we don't accept it in intellectual sense, whereby we could understand it. So there are certain secrets in the universe, in nature, in the Torah, in God's administration of the world. No, I know all that. In a pre-mastery, I know that. But can we understand it? No, it's in the prime of Chosov. We lack the intellectual sense whereby we could understand. And that's why the Malach said to the Mir, Vatalei of the Mir, don't try to explain. The Malach told the Mir all the secrets. All the secrets are contained in the Mir. All the secrets. Not only secrets in the category of Sosom, but even secrets in the category of Chosom. But did the Malach understand that? No. And did the Malach understand it? The Malach was mentioned by Hashem, but the Malach didn't understand it either. The Malach didn't understand it. With the minimal modicum of justice, of gratitude, as it is manifested by the mitzvahs of Dinim and Kiblam, that was the purpose. I think the purpose was to impress upon the heart and the mind of each and every Jew and Jewess that even in respect to the mishpatim, mitzvahs like Yudav and Dini, every modern person knows that without Dini, without Yudav, a society could not even consider itself civilized. But Chibudat cannot attain its real splendor if it is based exclusively on innate righteousness, on innate gratitude. It has to be based primarily upon the concept of Kabbalah Shemal Shemai, upon the mysterious concept. Two, Yadus is symbolized by the mixture of cities, the two strands, the white and the blue. There is the approach of the intelligible and the rational, and there is the approach of the mysterious and the transcendental. But if a person approaches the mitzvah of Nurmu Havere exclusively from the point of view of innate kindness, then it's rationalized. You see, I mean, the Chaim had to write the whole sefer on Shmiras Hashem. And Chaim writes in the Aridome, if somebody talks Lashon Hara, okay, I don't remember. I'm a father. 1991. I don't remember. Can anyone remind me? How many? Terrible, no, no. There's too many. All right, anyway. The number of love, 19 maybe, and Ephes. And still, so many Orthodox Jews are mitzvahed in Lashon Hara. And even the Orthodox Jews who publish for it, who publish for it, Marmor Machadei, they are still also mitzvahed. They find the tale, they rationalize. Why do they rationalize? They don't rationalize in regard to the Israel eating the Bailey. No one rationalizes that. No one will rationalize in regard to the Israel beating the later tonight, or even in regard, let's say, to the Minhagim of Sphira. Only somebody will be musical in Sphira, so there'll be many Orthodox Jews who are ready to talk against him and to be mivazeh him and to be maligned. Why is that so? They have no Yerushalayim, of course they have Yerushalayim. But they approached Hukim from the point of view of Kabbalah to Mar Shemayim. But no more have they reached Dav, Shkodeh, Gezbol, these are mitzvahs that some Mele, then suppose the Torah would not have commanded, we still would be obligated. But if the Torah didn't command them, then they'll find nature, you know. I mean, a person can rationalize, you know. You see, I mean, how modern people. So in the media, Lashon Hara and with Shemra, that is the basic tool. And that is the criterion whereby we measure and determine the success of a media person, whether he's a successful media person or not, if he's able to talk maximum of Lashon Hara and Yetzer Hashemra, then he's a very prominent correspondent. But you see, he doesn't talk Lashon Hara so freely, but then he's a mediocre media person. He has to be able to find out all the films about cemetery, that and this one and that one, I mean, about Grail, then he's a big man. So, because the person, and they don't believe in human dignity. Every modern person believes in human dignity. Everybody knows what the Declaration of Independence says. Man was endowed by his creator with certain inalienable rights, and among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How is it that they malign a person and they explore all the secrets about his private life? And by whom is it done? By people who always speak of freedom. Freedom! What's the answer? Because they approach it only from the point of view of the rational and the intelligent. So then you rationalize. No, human ingenuity is so shallow and so sophisticated that you can be tired of Hasharat a billion times. Not a billion times, but a thousand times. So, the martyr lectures. The trouble is, why do they talk Lashon Hara? Why does a misnagi talk against the Chassid? Why? Doesn't he know that some in the Rav would dare eat one piece of conveyor? You wouldn't rationalize in the doctrine daily, because the Tolkien, so he knows, the Tolkien are bounded in the mysterious transcendental approach. In the hold the shoes for Harvard, but that's misporting, so. Why can't they rationalize and be retired as a sheriff because of time? So that's why the Israelites were commanded in more to prepare them for Matthew. On one hand, they were commanded the mitzvahs of Dinim and Kibudav, which are examples of obligations that are grounded in the concept of human dignity and ingratitude. And on the other, they were commanding for Adonai something that is so mysterious that it defies all logic, it defies all understanding, to advise us, to impress us with the basic concept that even in the realm of Mishpati, we have to approach it not only from the point of view of the rational and intelligible, but also, and perhaps primarily, from the approach of the mysterious and the transcendental. Then we will not rationalize, then we will not be able to manipulate and to be entire as a sheret, and to be entire as a sheret we could be time. So that is Chilas Din Yam Din Rokia. And then the Rokia Din Rikisiakovi. Rikisiakovi, I think, is symbolic of the throne of glory, of God's administration in the world. God's administration in the world. That is Meisha Rabbeinu. That's Kisei HaKodesh, the way God, administers the world, the unfolding of the historical events in the course of the millennia. That's the Kisei HaKodesh. That's the Kisei HaKodesh. And as the Kisei HaKodesh marches through the sand of time, so there are certain events. So here we have to approach it primarily from the point of view of the mysterious, of Tchilas, of the mysterious and the transcendental. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Harinu no Esfildecho, so the Noam Brocha says that Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he couldn't understand the history, the meaning, the purpose of the historical events. We find the Shoyim who prosper and Tzaddikim who suffer. Why is it so? So the Rebbe Shoyim responded, the Saturi Ratzu, the Aver Skredi, the Oisar Sachirayu.